I was just wondering why, how come you're still in town? I figured you'd have bugged out for the West Coast by now.
I'm finishing up some stuff over on that entertainment building. They've added a couple of things, changed a couple of things, so I'm going to get them finished up. And hopefully I can get that done before the weather gets 90 degrees. If not, at least I'm supposed to be installing the air conditioning unit next week, so I get to work inside in the air conditioning.
Oh, that'll make it a little bit more tolerable, won't it?
Most definitely.
But I just came in, bud. I'll be right back.
Do RCL monitoring.
KO4 HKX. Hey, Russell.
There's Patrick. I was fixing to ask Steve if he had heard from you. I hadn't heard you in a couple of days.
Here at the house, man, my sinus has been killing me. I feel like they're trying to jackhammer my teeth out. So this, I hadn't been on the radio much at all. I've been listening, but I hadn't been talking a whole lot.
Understand that. Now, you being from up there in North Carolina, you know somebody that goes out in the woods and can bring you back a jar of Cure-All.
Yes, sir, I do.
My grandpa used to say it'll either cure you or kill you, one of the two. Either way, you'll feel better.
Makes you sleep, for me anyway.
It'll put you out like a light if you get to the bottom of the jar.
For the bottom of the jar. I don't drink anything at all, so when I do make my cough medicine out of it, that's enough to put me out all night.
Same boat with you. If they don't put enough lemon and honey in it, I can't stand it to drink it.
It is. I think it's just where it's been so hot and cold and up and down. The weather's just been all over the place lately. It's finally just got my sinuses, and then being wet and cold the other day didn't help none at all.
Probably not. We had those warm days where it was hot and humid, and then it dropped off freezing cold almost. And you get out there in the rain, get wet, and get cold, and get hot again. And it plays havoc on you. It does it on the livestock and everything when the weather changes dramatic like that.
That's how come I haven't been on the radio much. I hadn't checked in on the net in the last couple of nights either. I've been asleep, so I've just missed them.
Well, sometimes the best medicine is rest. You know, you go and go and go, and you've been under a lot of stress lately, and it's starting to catch up with you, it sounds like, and hopefully weather's going to balance out here in the next day or so, and we'll get a little bit of rain next week, and maybe that'll wash some of the pollen away and help you out as far as the allergies go.
Allergies, I think I've got a sinus infection.
Covers too much at night, boy.
My problem. If I get more than about 5 or 6 hours sleep, that's too much.
The opposite. If I don't get at least 8 hours, I just can't survive.
Me, I've always been 6 hours and up. Just the way I've always been.
Heard that. Steve, did you find anything good at the train show? Pick up anything at the hobby shop today?
A couple of needed pieces of supplies at the hobby shop. And I tell you what, I just did not find what I was looking for at the train show. But then again, what I'm looking for is kind of scarce.
Heard that. Yeah, I heard y'all today. I couldn't talk on the radio today. I was busy spreading stucco mix. But I was listening in. Patrick, how much good stuff did you see up there at the Ham Radio Fest?
A whole lot. I met some other people and, made some other connections there. I did find a little Icom 706 Mark IIG with an antenna tuner out for a good deal. I picked it up. I couldn't pass it up. I got both of them for not quite half what everybody else is wanting just for the radio. What you need?
What show is this you talking about you picked up a 706 at?
Ham Radio Fest up here at the in Hendersonville last Friday. I talked to you about it.
About something this week. I'm about to be missing out. So you did good on that 706, huh?
I think I did. Like I said, I got both of them for $500.
This market, you did just fine.
Everywhere else I look, they're wanting $750 plus for the radio itself.
They're absolutely nuts. So where are you going to run that one? In the house or in your truck?
Tool truck. I plan on putting it in it because it's the 2 meter 440 also.
Well, so how are you going to run your HF in it?
Yet. Ain't got that far.
You can try some ham sticks.
General license, it really doesn't do a whole lot of good.
I'll have that in no time. You too, Russell.
My general, I'm working on trying to get my extra.
Okay, well, good. So when are you going to get your good HF radio, bud?
I was kind of thinking about it, and then I had to replace the air conditioner upstairs, so that took all my money for radio. I'm still debating on it, but I just got my base station set up for VHF, UHF at the house with the antenna run for it. And built that hotspot, and I'm still playing around with it. And I'm trying to figure out APRS on my Anytone, but I ain't quite got that dialed in yet. So I got a few things I'm playing with right now. We'll just, I guess once I get to a point where I get caught up, I'll be looking for an HF.
You know, you need something to put in that camper when you get west.
Yeah, I got that, 2 meter 70 centimeter they use as a base right now, powering it with an Astron power supply. I can pop it off the bracket there on the desk and mount it back into the bracket in the RV. I already got the antenna and stuff running it. We ran it up to Alaska and back.
Well, that sounds like a winner too. Now what kind of HF antenna you gonna run on your camper?
That I have no idea. I haven't even got close to that. I'm still debating on a HF antenna for the house.
You know my building down there, don't you?
Heard you talking about the running it out there in the Leland Cypress.
450 that I hit Belgium with that day that you and I were out there. I'm
going to
try to run me an in-fed straight wire out there up in those Leland Cypresses.
Question for me, if I wanted to do an inverted V, how far away from the house does it have to be? I know metal buildings are bad, but how about a house?
There's no problem. You run it as close to your house as you want. See, a house, you know, the wood structures are not really going to bother your signal at all. The only time you really have a problem is when you try to run it in an attic. I tried that with a OCF and did not have the success that I wanted. So, anyhow, an inverted V. You saw that inverted V I've got out there, right?
Seen it.
Right up there next to your house, and you should be very successful with that.
What I do, because I've got that tower system made out of that pole that I built, and I could put me one up there with a pulley and run it up, and I got plenty of room on both sides to spread the V out and get it set up.
That's what I've done. I got mine up in the center of the porch and the peak, and then I got the two wires coming out from there, running out that way. So that's how I done my inverted V.
And it works good, don't it?
So tweaking on it, I got something in the way on the other, on one leg of it. So I couldn't go straight out. I had to go around. So I got to do a little work there. But yes, it works pretty good.
I've already seen how my inverted V works. Did all right, don't it?
Works good. So, Patrick, did you build yours or did you buy it?
I went ahead and bought that one just for ease of putting it up. And I normally don't have a lot of free time lately, so that's the reason I bought it.
Gotcha. If I can figure out how to build one, I'll probably try to do that. That'll give me some more content for the YouTube channel.
Well, there's only one problem with that, Patrick, or rather Russell. By the time you get everything put together, make your trips up to the wire man to get your wire, and then get a proper balun to put in it, you can order one from Maxcon like I got for $119 and have less in it.
I already got the stranded copper wire for the leads coming off the sides and the PL259 connector.
I still charge you like $39 or $49 for a balun up there at the wire man. And, you know, they've got great wire. They do great on wire and connectors and all that stuff. But I've used one or two of their balans, and I wasn't all that pleased with their balans.
Gotcha. So, what is in the balun that makes it work?
It's like a choke, and it helps balance up your SWR.
I got you. So, I had watched a video on a guy building one, and he basically used one side off of the ground side of the PL259 connector, and then one side off of the center pin, and had them stretched out. And that's how he set his up and put it together. So I'm guessing there's more to it than just basically soldering those two together and having the proper length of wire on each side.
Well, okay, here's the rub. Are you wanting to do multiband on one wire?
I really don't know what I want to do because I really don't know what I'm doing, if you want me to be 100% honest.
You got 80 meter, 40 meter, 20 meter, 17, 10, 15, and 10 meters. That's your bands, okay? And to accommodate SWR and make these things work on more than just one band, you got to match them up for length for SWR. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand the concept of it, but does the antenna tuner not take the place of that, or do you have to set the antenna up so the tuner would be able to actually tune it?
Well, what you're doing is, see, if you set up an 80-meter band, which is at 3.5 to 4, then you got to have a wire out there at almost 160 feet. Well, that wire at 160 feet is not going to match up in SWR to the 40-meter band. That's where your balun comes in. That balun artificially... Well, not artificially. It makes it to where you can spread the SWR over that coil, okay, and you can cover multiple bands.
I understand now. I believe the blind man does see. So the balun is actually what's building the resistance to do the SWRs for all the bands.
Ding, ding, give that boy a kippy doll.
Cool deal. So I'd have to have a balun in order to build one. And at that point, I'm spending more money on more parts, so I guess I can just start looking at price options. Do they make a vertical HF antenna that'll cover all bands?
Yeah. But now, are you talking about a vertical with ground plane? Or are you talking about just strictly a straight-up vertical?
My VHF-UHF base, I've got a vertical antenna with three ground plane legs coming off of it that's mounted on the top of that mast. So I'm wondering if I could put another one beside it to utilize for HF.
You can, and what you're talking about, that HF, and or rather that 2 meter 440 antenna, is only about 4 feet tall, right?
By 8 feet.
Okay, that's fine. All right, now, if you go over and look at DX Engineering online, they will have a category in there for vertical HF antennas. There's one made by an outfit called Comet. It's a CHA250B. It covers 80 through 10. Okay? And it does a moderately good job. I've talked all over the U.S. with one. I had one. But you cannot put anything over about 250 watts on it. I've got an 800 watt amplifier, which is why I sold it to a friend of mine.
Got you. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to sit down and do some more research and figure out what I want to do. And part of it's just going to be getting caught up and then deciding where we're going to go and how long we're going to be gone and what I want to set up. I may have to do something where I can do a mobile unit in the RV or do something there at the house or do both. I don't know. I ain't had time to sit down and really go through it yet.
Go online to DX Engineering and or just Google up RV HF antennas. And you might just be surprised what you find there, bud, because there are some pretty good ones. Now, they're not going to be as effective as, you know, a 50-foot tower and a rotatable dipole. They're not going to be that good. But they're going to work pretty doggone good.
Well, cool deal. I'll definitely have to check into it, and who knows, I may go all out or minimal. I'm not sure yet. I just really hadn't dove into it too hard yet. Just found out there's a friend of mine that I've known for a long time, got his ham license late last year. He's a tech right now, so we got to get him up to general too, and I know he's listening to me.
Thanks, Kay. Steve, what was that antenna number again?
Comet CHA250B. Now, like I said, though, you can't put no real power on the thing. I think it's good for 250 watts, and that's it. And something like that is really good for some HOAs, because you can paint it green, put it up on the top of a mast on the crest of your eaves, and if you're in an area with some trees, it's just camouflage. You don't even see it hardly. But it is 24 feet in length with a load on the base of it.
I was just looking around for antennas too, see what I could come up with.
Well, now listen, guys, both of you listen. Now, if you want to talk all over the U.S., that's probably just fine. And when propagation picks up, that'll be probably just fine. But if you're wanting to talk to, say, East Asia or Antarctica or the Arctic or, you know, around into Russia, I don't know that that's the antenna for you. Be good for a RV, you know, if you just want to stay within the U.S. with it, but if you really want to go DX, then that's not the one.
Really looking for the DX, and I don't know, I like the Rag-Chew part of it more than just making a contact and moving on.
One more problem with that antenna, I will give you this. When I had it up at about the top of it at about 60 feet, okay? And when I used it, I did find that with an inverted V, I can talk to people, you know, 15, 20 miles away, ground plane. But if you're trying to talk to somebody close in, you ain't going to do it with that antenna. That antenna has got a circumference of about 250 miles around your position that you ain't going to be able to hit. You got to be outside that to do any good with it.
Well, what's a good antenna for, like, working 10-meter simplex like me and you?
2RCU. Sorry about that, guys. I had a phone call come in. I had to drop out for a minute.
K4RVWA. For 10-meter, I'll be honest with you, Patrick. Most of my contacts have been up at 20, 40, and 80-meter. Oh, goodness. From what I understand, there's a lot going on 17, 15, and 10 right now, but I hadn't been down there. So, to be honest, that rotatable dipole I got will go to 10, but I've never really gone down there much.
You know, like, if you wanted to talk simplex across around here local, what would be a good way to do that other than 2-meter or something like that?
It's on CB radio.
Yeah, there's CBers that cut in here every now and then. No, I tell you what, I have got a Gazoo ST8900 quad band. And that thing covers 10, 6, 2, and 440. And it will not do sideband on those. It's just straight FM. Now, if that's what you're talking about, that's an awful good radio to do, you know, simplex transmissions with.
For using what I got already, the radio-wise, but looking for an antenna or a way to do that. Where, you know, like, if the repeater goes out or whatever, you can still make contact locally here to find out what's going on.
Have you got a radio that'll cover 10 meter?
I just told you, I bought a IC706 Mark IIG, and I am talking to you on a ST991 right now.
You've got a fine radio. Is that a ST991A?
Say is just a regular old 991, but it does what I need it to.
Hey, let me tell you what, the only difference between a 991 and a 991A is the display and a couple of functions in the display. That's a fine radio, son. Now, if you want to do 10 meter sideband, that's 706, man. You put that in your truck and you're all set and ready to go.
Looking at, but you don't ever, I've been monitoring the 10 meter band and I made a contact on my 91 up to Rochester, New York on my little tram Dicon antenna and 100 watts. So I was looking to try to make simplex talk connections around here on HF instead of always having to rely on a repeater.
Hey, did you hear the term that I used earlier? Hamstick?
Did.
Bands, all you got to do, well, you have to get out of the truck and change the stick for the proper band, because it comes in a set, and you put on the proper band hamstick, and then you just get back in your truck and tune it with that tuner, and you're off to the races, bud.
Looking at, and you all were making fun of the CB. I've got one in the Excursion, and I monitor it from time to time, and never hear anything on it. Never hear anybody talking on it anymore. Unless there's a traffic jam somewhere or something like that, then you'll hear somebody turn one on.
10-4 back door. I had to throw that in there. No, I tell you, most of the truckers have gone to sideband radios too, just like we got.
Down in a Striker 10 band, 10 meter band radio now is what most of them are running there. That way they can do sideband on it.
That's exactly right. And Simplex on that frequency, you can run 15, 20 miles.
The CB in the RV when we drove up to Alaska, I think we heard two people on it, and both times it was in a traffic jam where they were doing construction or a traffic accident.
If you get down around Channel 6, there's some monkey messing around down there around 85. Every now and then he gets on there and acts crazy, but that's about it. Other than that, I hadn't heard hardly anything.
Over to Channel 8 down around here, they somebody that's getting on there that's got a whole bunch of power, because they talk over top of anybody that keys up on there, and he talks nonstop, it seems like. I disconnected mine and laid it in the back seat.
Heard him. Mine, like I said, I'll leave it on scan when I got it in, when I do turn it on. But I've never heard him on there.
Is he talking to somebody, or is he just talking to be listening to his own voice?
People, but they certain people that try to key down on there and talk that he don't like. And he'll just start keying down on the radio, telling them that they can't talk over him and they can't get on this channel. And it's just, it's a whole bunch of, it's a CB radio. Realistically, that's why I like the ham side.
No, the rest of the story, that's why ham radio, CB radio just about died out. If you wanted to hear a bunch of foul mouths, or some jerk with an ego as big as our outdoors that wanted to control a frequency, there you go.
Reason I got into ham radio too, that I grew up around CB. My dad's a truck driver, so I've heard it all.
To be honest, I grew up talking on it. Had one in the car with a Texas Star 250 tube amp in the trunk, and it would flat talk. We could open and close garage doors if we drove through the subdivision.
It's a lamp I could put on mine, but I don't. I just run it barefoot. Because, like I said, it's more for if I'm in traffic problems while I'm driving out of town or something like that. That's it. But now I've found one that's got a scanner built in that changes frequencies with GPS. It tracks where you're at, and it'll do police, fire, DOT, and one other one. I can't remember what it is right now.
It'll be much good down here because the police has done went over to install digital P25 down here on 800 megahertz.
I can hear them. I've avoided a lot of headaches that way with it. I keep it in the tool truck just for that reason.
Picks up the PAL 800 system.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have to send me the information on that then, because if it'll pick up PAL 800, I might be interested in looking at something like that so I can keep up what's going on with the fire department now.
It's a Uniden Bear Tracker 885.
I have to load that up when I get to the house. And speaking of the house, gentlemen, I am about to destinate here at the house, so I'm going to drop out of here. Patrick, it's good talking to you. I hope you get feeling better soon. Steve's good talking to you as always. You gentlemen have a wonderful afternoon, and I will say 73s, and I'll be clear on your finals.
Take it easy, Russell. And in the lingo of the old CB days, I'm about to drop out on you too, Patrick. I'm going to stop in here and juice it up and hit the choking puke and then get back on the road. Y'all have a good afternoon. 73s, KN4VWA, clear.
Gentlemen, I enjoyed the conversation. Both of y'all have a good evening. And Russell, I'll send that information over to you in a message. KO4HKX, clear.
Jim, KO4HKX. Patrick, you still on the radio?
KO4HKX. Evening, Bill. sinuses in my teeth. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Complain. Hey, as I was getting off radio earlier, I heard you say you were stuck on one talk group on DMR. Are you able to use the disconnect group to clear that connection?
I was. We'll see if I still am. Into my PiStar and noticed that network status is not green for DMR network.
Down at the bottom is your hotspot connected. You get an internet connection.
I am. And it is receiving talk group 3137 now. So let me see if that's what it's doing. It's working now. I went in and reloaded the software. There must have been something went wrong in it last time.
Yeah, that's what I was. If you were receiving, I figured something was hung up. So thought I'd offer some advice, whether it was any good or not, I don't know.
It was stuck on USA, so it wasn't like it was terrible, but you know, I did want to listen to other talk groups from time to time.
You can get a connection in between people talking and hit that talk group 4000. You can disconnect and should be able to then connect to any other talk group as long as it's not busy.
It wouldn't let me hit another talk group. It would disconnect and it would come back and say disconnected. And you try to connect to a different network and it would say no. It would let you see it connect on the PiStar, but it would not do anything. I couldn't receive anything. I don't know what happened. So like I said, I just went in and reloaded everything to the radio, the original code plug, and it appears to be working now. So
did you ever get the local repeaters added like you tried before when it messed up?
The 610 added. And that's the only one I messed with. I was just trying to get it. And then all this went haywire, so I've just been trying to get back to ground zero before I've done anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I've got probably 40 different local repeaters added to my code plug and hadn't had any problem, you know, with radio or hotspot. So not sure what's going on. I did all mine in Excel and imported it back as a CVS file into the channels and then give it a zone, and it seemed to work out fine.
It was went in and manually added that one zone. I added a local zone and then added that one channel, and then like I said, everything went haywire. I don't know if it just didn't push everything to the radio properly or, you know, I accidentally hit something I shouldn't have, but I don't think I did. So now that I've got it back to ground zero, I'll go in and we'll try again. At least I know I can get back to where I started from for sure.
Good, you got a backup, and, you know, most of the time it wants you to read from the radio before you do anything. I found that helps. They suggest that, and it does help. So, but yeah, I just took all my local analog repeaters and added them in, or inserted rows to give me the space to do it, and inserted them in, and saved it back. And I mean, I'm talking on it right now, and I can switch to just about any of them, and so far, I hadn't had any problems that I know of.
Is to put different zones in, because I travel to pretty much the same places regularly. So I wanted to make a zone for each one of those places with those local repeaters. So when I'm in those places, that they're there for me. And that's what I wanted to set up. That's one of the things I liked about how DMR was set up, where you had those zones where you could do that.
A bunch of zones. I can click through. I got like local, Athens, Greenville, South Carolina, North Georgia. I mean, I made a ton of zones. Put my local repeaters and set some of the DMR as well. And then I've got zones strictly, you know, DMR, worldwide, USA, all the ones that come with that super code plug like you got.
About what you're talking about, where you import them into Excel and build your all that, I found it was fairly easy just to go in and write that one repeater right there in the CV or in the program for the radio.
Go into options in the CodePlug software where you can export your channels. You can at the top click all and export everything, or just export the individual line for channels and zones, and it exports it as a CVS file, which can be read by Excel. And once you get in Excel, you can rebuild it, add all your information in, and then import it just right back in the same way in reverse. Just import channels, import zones, download it to the radio, and it's good to go. It's a lot easier to build your zones and channels in Excel because you can just manipulate the data so much faster.
I don't know how to use Excel real well, so it probably doesn't work that good for me. That's one program that, in what I've done for a living, I've never had to mess with.
It's not hard. Because when you export it and open it in Excel, it's going to have a header row with all your names for, like, your transmit, receive, offset, tone, power, everything. And you literally just fill it in with the information you want and tell it whether it's analog or digital. Some of them are got drop-down boxes. I mean, it's really pretty easy. And if you export it, play with it in Excel, you can't mess that part up. If you do, just start over. Don't import it back to the radio.
Should have tried, but like I said, it's just one program I never have used. So I just don't know a whole lot about it. I know enough to be dangerous, let's put it that way.
Being dangerous is living on the edge. And you can live on the edge and still get it done. But if I can ever help, you got my contact. Feel free to reach out. I can help you build it. That ain't no problem.
HKX Friday. I appreciate that, Bill. I'll probably have to holler at you someday about that. So I'll have to keep that in mind.
Fans, it's, like I said, it's easy and quick. I mean, we can probably build everything you need as long as you got the, if you sort of map it out on a piece of paper like you want it or in an email and send me the information, we can get on the phone and we can go through it in a hurry. I'm assuming you do have a Windows machine that you're doing the program with. What are you running?
Windows 10.
Even do the remote assist, and literally I can get on and walk you through it where you can see what I'm doing and talk you right through it, and you can see the screen, and I can do remote session, and we can do it just like we sit beside each other.
Like I said, I'll have to keep that in mind. now that I got it back to the ground zero, I may start giving that a try here this weekend.
The best way to learn is trial and error and experience. That way, when you finally do get it figured out, you know what's going on. And like I say, honestly, it is easy. So, but anyway, other than that, I was playing with DMR Thursday night and made a bunch of contacts, and I got to go in the QRZ and confirm them for folks. I'm having a hard time figuring out QRZ, how to confirm the contacts. I can't figure out what all it wants and the time and things like that.
A while to figure out that one too, and I'd have to go back and look at it because I've only done it for one, but I'll go review it again and see if I can't help you out with that one.
Appreciate it, because like I said, I get one thing done, and I mean there's tons of stuff to fill out, and I'm trying to figure out what the minimum is, and so I can confirm these contacts for these folks. I've got a pretty good list of them that need confirming, and I don't want to not do it for them.
Is there an ITU zone you're in? If I remember correctly, one of them was your ITU zone that you were in. It wanted to know that. And then something else. I have to go, like I said, I'm trying to pull it up now. Give me just a second. 4HKX. Bill, you still there? Log into QRZ.
Minute. I just need to walk inside, sit down, or I got it pulled up. Stand by.
WHM. Patrick, I am ready.
Go to your actual page and go to your logbook, and that's where it'll ask you to enter some information.
Got one of the ones up that need confirming.
What information are you trying to figure out that you don't know what it is?
QSO start, where it has the date and time, and I click now, it puts in the current UTC time. It's showing the bands and frequency and modes already filled in. Past that, I'm just not real sure what it wants, because if I tell it to save record, it comes up and tells me that the QSO data you've entered does not match the confirmation requester's information.
No on that one, because... So you got your logbook set up, but you're trying to confirm your contact.
Correct.
That one, Tom or one of the other guys, might be the way to better to ask there. Because like I said, I just got mine set up and confirmed the first contact, but I didn't run into that.
What it's telling me is that the time has to be plus or minus 30 minutes. And I'm not real sure what it's wanting. I mean, I can Google it and watch a video on it and see if I can figure it out. I just thought, like I said, maybe you or one of the others might can save me some time.
You look and see what I can find out on mine about how he confirmed it, and then I'll get back with you. But the wife's saying supper's ready, so I'm going to hop off here for a little bit, and then I'll take a look at this. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear on your final.
Three, Patrick, I appreciate the offer to help, and if you see it, give me a shout, and we'll give it a try. If not, like I said, I can figure it out. I just hadn't taken time to read the instructions, trying to do it off the top of my head. So, 73.
X-rays, my friend. Enjoy your dinner, and we'll talk again soon. This is M4WHM, clear.